show you an interesting passage in the Bible. John chapter 16. And I really don't know how y'all feel about this, but I feel like we're probably closer to the tribulation than we've ever been. Oh, I know we are because we're that much closer, but I mean, you see how the world is, you see the condition it's in, you see the direction it's going, you see its philosophies, its ideas, and if you know anything about this Bible, you know we're getting close. You know we're getting close. John chapter 16, look in verse 1. John 16, 1. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended." Now, this next statement is quite a statement. Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to his followers. They shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, now watch this. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Well, that's an encouraging message. But that's what he said. He said the time's going to come that there are going to be people that are going to be so much against you that they can kill you and they will think that they're on God's side. If you've done any type of witnessing, if you've done any type of work in this world, you will see the hatred for this book and for God through you because you're the one bringing it up. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They would rather kill you to shut you up. I mean, you remember Stephen when he's up there, not Stephen Smith here, but the Stephen of the Bible. He's up there preaching mere words. He's not taking rocks and throwing them at people. He's not got a bow and arrow and he's not shooting people. The words that come out of his mouth, the Bible said, that offended them so bad and upset them so bad, they murdered Stephen. The time will come when they, look at verse 3, "And these things will they do unto you." Why? "Because they have not known the Father nor me. But yet they claim they're following God." They claim they're on God's side. You say, why are you bringing all this up? Well, this week I was in, I do it all the time. I love to get on social media and be an antagonist. I can't help it. But this guy posted a video about how his pastor, they got up Sunday morning, and instead of having church, they decided to go feed the poor that day. And how excited and happy he was, and that's what God's called him to do. So they got to church, and he said, "We're not having service today. We're going to go out, and we're going to feed the poor." So I commented and said, "Well, that's wonderful. That's great. Did you get to preach the gospel? Did you tell them that Jesus can save them from their sins?" And the hatred and the meanness and the ugliness that I got called for saying, "That's wonderful that you fed them, but did you preach to them?" And, it was probably the worst I've ever had as far as a group of people coming at me. And I said, "Listen, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What good does it do to give a man a sandwich and he die and go to hell?" And, buddy, I for the first time probably in my life, they don't know who I am. I mean, everybody's anonymous on the internet. But I could, you just felt the hatred. And all people eternal life. Tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them how they these churches that accepts everybody and love the homosexuals and even these people were saying Jesus never said anything in the Bible against abortion. He never said nothing. So Jesus is not against, and these are people that are claiming to follow God. You ever ran into people like that are just so gone? Bible says that God can turn some people over to a reprobate mind, and when you talk to them, they are thoroughly and fully convinced they are on God's side, that they are following God himself, and really they're not. And another guy posted something about, turn it sideways for me, and we'll get back on this here in a second, but I just wanted to mention this. A guy posted a comment at the judgment. God really doesn't care what your theology or doctrine is. He only cares how you treated people, if you've fought for social justice and something like that. And I said, the overwhelming support this. That's right. That's the true God of the Bible. Love everybody, accept everybody. And all I put was, you clearly don't know God or the Bible. And this guy goes, weird take, bro. And I said, true take, bro. You don't know the Bible. And again, I felt that overwhelmed. God, I'm telling y'all, it was in the was attacking me. And I'm thinking, Are we that far gone as a world? You got something? What's that? Okay, we need some extra books. Yeah, if you need a book from last week, we'll get back on this. But it just seems like it's getting worse and worse. You know, when you think the world has completely lost its mind and totally against God, you wake up the next day and it somehow got worse. Well, anyway, but isn't that a fascinating statement that Jesus is telling his disciples? The time will come that they're going to kill you and they're going to think that they're doing God's service, that they're following God. But he went on to say, they don't know me or God. And this world, and they don't. They truly don't. But isn't it a fascinating, these people that are for all these social justice things, they invoke the name of God when they do it. Like that gives them some sort of credibility and authenticity as far as what we're doing. All right, let's get back on this study. I do think I totally, one thing, I was told that I'm not reading, that what I'm reading here isn't up on the screen, so we're going to try to get back to that here in a second. But just to catch everybody up, we're not going to rehash everything. A few people come up and show me errors in this as far as spelling, punctuation, missing letter, whatever. That's great. You're not going to hurt my feelings. Be very picky, because what we want to do as a church is we want to publish this, but we want it to be accurate. We want spelling to be accurate. We want punctuation to be accurate. And what we'd like to do is post this in the foyer with a sign or with something that says, in case of emergency, break glass. And if you see this picture here, it's somebody who's walked into church and there's nobody there. Nobody there. They're all gone. And the very first part of your book says, you've been left behind, now what? So this is to help them navigate through the tribulation time. Now, Pastor Andrew just did a whole 5-year study on rightly dividing. I don't know how long it was. It was probably over the summer. It's quite a while. But if we truly believe that, if we truly believe in rightly dividing and the dispensations and things, then we need to be able to give the sinner something in the tribulation to help them have God. And this book clearly lays it out. And this is going to be very controversial. I can already tell you some of the brethren are going to attack it. But I'm telling you, when he came the first time, the religious crowd didn't get it right either. But anyway, I want to get started on this. I do think I missed something last week that I believe is very important. All right. Yeah, you can see the exact same thing I can this time. Maybe last week you couldn't. All right. I'm going to read just this first part. We already covered 1 and 2, then we'll go on to 3. But I do want to cover this because I think I left out something. The fact you are reading this means you have been left behind. This document was written to help you navigate this time period. It does not go into any detail, and I remember saying this part. Let's go down to that next verse. It is kept short and concise on purpose. If we fully covered every statement in this booklet, it would easily cover 1,000 pages. And it was hard to try to keep this concise, and I've told y'all we had to do a couple times where I had to cut stuff out. It was not written for theologians, even though most of them will be going through the tribulation with you. That is a true statement. Most of the Bible colleges and theologians and seminaries and the learned people, I'm telling you, they didn't, and I believe I even say this here, none of the theologians, scholars, or religious leaders knew who Jesus was when he came the first time. They don't have the tribulation doctrine right. And I believe that. I truly believe that. This was written to be easily understood by anyone with or without a Bible background. So I'm going to go ahead and go on because I didn't cover that one. And later in the week, I got thinking, I don't remember saying that. All right, the 7 most important things. You need to get a King James Bible. And it says in here, go get one out of the pastor's office. Because see, what we're thinking is we're going, somebody gets a hold of this, they need pastor's office. He's got understand it's bad. Number 3, and this is where we'll pick up. You need to know, and this is going to build on things as we go. Say things here, but as you read into the book, you'll figure out, and it's more of a track or booklet type thing. Number 3, you need to know the tribulation will last approximately 7 years. So a guy walks in, he sees the church is gone, he knows, he's heard about this rapture, he never accepted Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, what do I do now? Well, he needs to understand it'll last approximately 7 years, and we'll get into that here in a second. From the time the church Christians were taken away until the end of the tribulation is approximately 7 years. And then I quote Daniel 9:27, and he, Satan, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, this is during the middle part of the tribulation, of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon Daniel. And they worship the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things, and blasphemy and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And the 42 months is the 7 years. Daniel 9:27 says, the Antichrist shall cause abomination and desolate in the midst, the middle of the week. Revelation chapter 13, verses 4 and 5 explain how the dragon and the beast will be worshipped during the tribulation. He will speak blasphemies for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. And then I lay out the math right there. 42 months is the halfway point. Then the second half of the tribulation must be 42 months. 42 and 42 is 84 months. 84 months divided by 12 months equals 7 years. So this is what I give to the sinner in the tribulation. And he, the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws. They shall be given into his hand until the time and times and the dividing of times. So there's a lot of stuff in there. Revelation is a very... Right there. Is a complex period of time. You are not... deeper things of the Bible. And that is true. Average 10 years to earn your true Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu gym and start training a few weeks and you get your blue belt and get your purple belt and get your brown belt. It takes a lot of time on the mats. You've got to learn. You've got to go through some things. 10 years to get a black belt. And I really think it's probably about like that as a Christian. Remember the Apostle Paul? He was saved. Did not God separate him for a while to show him things out of the Bible, to train him and to reveal things to him? And a sinner that's getting this to understand everything. So I tried to give enough to give them something, but not overwhelm them. It is a time when God judges Israel for rejecting his son and for crucifying their Messiah. And that's what it is. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's also a time of punishment for Israel and the entire world for believing and worshiping the Antichrist during the tribulation. The whole world will be judged, and they will suffer God's wrath during the tribulation. The time is also called the time of Jacob's trouble and Daniel's 70th week. Now, I'm not going to read that because it's right there. It quotes all that right there, and we just, for the sake of time, we're not going to read it, but it's right there. All right, so we covered the first three, and they were get a King James Bible, know that it's going to be bad, and you're looking at about 7 years. So I'm trying to give them some information. You need to know about the mark of the beast. And I put in capital, whatever you do, do not take a mark anywhere in or on your body. Don't do it. So they can't get to heaven if they take that mark. So I didn't know. Yes, you did know. And I am going to put the scripture verse here. I was thinking about that. I do need to put that verse in there where he gives the mark. It's not even mentioned here, so we do need to add that. So if anybody wants to put a little arrow right there, we need to, because over in Revelation, it talks about that mark. Does anybody know where it is offhand? I know it's in Revelation where it talks about the mark of the beast. If somebody could look that up, we'll read it, but it will go in here. I think that's in, because here, I just made a statement, but I didn't give any Bible. Almost everything I put in here, I gave Bible verses for. I didn't for that one, and that needs to be in there. It's very important. Whatever you do, do not take a mark anywhere in or on your body. Don't do it. Revelation 13:17. Can somebody read it since you're already there? Okay. So that's going to go in there. It's going to talk about how you have to have that mark in order to buy or sell. And we're working our way to that system even now. If you take that mark, you will be eternally damned to hell. It will not matter what you say you believe if you take that mark. You must believe in Jesus, and you must not take the mark of the beast to be saved. This is not a joke, and it's not a game. Your eternal life depends on what you do during this time. if you are forced to choose between getting the mark or being executed, trust God and choose death. Please notice the importance of the next verse. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So it's telling the sinner that you don't want to take this mark. You must have faith in God, and you must endure unto the end. Now, we're going to go over a lot of verses, because this is where it's going to get controversial with some of the brethren. Listen, the gospel of the grace of God is over. The church is gone. The dispensation of the gospel of the grace of God is out of here. Now they're in the tribulation. Now, let's see what the Bible says somebody must do to be saved. It uses the word saved over and over again in order for them to be saved during the tribulation. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Matthew 24:13. And none of these verses duplicate. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be what? Saved. But what do you got to do? It's clear. You've got to endure to the end. You got to make it. Now, is that how we get saved today? No. That is not how we get saved today. And ye shall be hated of all men's sake for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Says it again. That ye shall not be slothful, but followers of them who through, now watch this, faith and what? Patience inherit the promises. Do we have to have faith and patience? No. But somebody does. These people in the tribulation have to have faith and patience. They have to have faith and works. Pastor Andrew covered that every dispensation in the Bible has some element of faith. Everybody, but Adam and Eve, they just had to not eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They had to have faith in God and not do something. Noah had to have faith in God, but he had to build that boat. Had he not built that boat, he'd have died with everybody else. He had to put work into what God told him to do. This is the only dispensation, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Next verse, for you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Does that sound like anything that we have? No. They have to endure. They have to make it. They've got to struggle. They've got to remain faithful. Here is the patience and the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and what? The faith of Jesus. Now, this is where some of the brethren are just going to have a come apart. Oh, everybody saved the same way. The Old Testament, they believe in God. And the New Testament, everybody just believes in God. In the tribulation, you just got to go ahead and get the mark there, big boy. And you say you just believe in God and take the mark and watch what happens to you. You'll be eternally damned to hell, despite the fact you say you believe in God. And I got Bible verses for all these. Go ahead. I deserve it. If anybody deserves this. Not what it says. No. It is. Yeah, that you're predetermined, predestined. It's going to be tough. It's going to be very, your wife and children are starving. They've got this. This world's got this system now. You have to have this mark to buy or sell. Your baby's crying at the house, ain't got no formula. The wife's telling you, are you really sure about this God thing? Because we're going to die. And he's going to have to make a decision. Do I take the mark to give the baby formula, spend eternity in hell? Or do we just choose death? And I'm going to cover a little bit here about what they need to do to try to make it during the tribulation. I really believe I've never heard of any other church or any other person attempt to do anything like this. Now, Peter Ruckman come out with a book, Millions Disappear. And there was a lot of this in there, but it was bent on today. Like, there's nothing in this book is for today. The very first page, when you flip this over, the very first thing this says, I can get to it, the following information is for the tribulation time period only. And that's all this deals with. This is not that you need to understand that this is going to be bad, so you need to get saved now. No, this is not, I had those tracks showed you last week that we pull out to give people. That's for today. This is for the tribulation. So he come out with one that was similar. I've seen other people do, but this is strictly a salvation tract for the dispensation of the tribulation period. And we read there, here is the patience of the saints. Saints are believers in God. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Do you see that it requires both? Is there any conflict about this? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation. That's what we're talking about. And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. They did something. It took their work. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. This applies to the tribulation time period to the nation of Israel. When you go to James, it says, the very first verse says, James written to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. It was written to the nation of Israel. That's who has to do the works, not the church age. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man. You can't get any simpler than this. According to his works. His works is going to determine his salvation, Matthew 16:27. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. Next verse. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22:14. See, people throughout all of Christianity have read these verses and have struggled with them. They're not for us. When you rightly divide the Bible, you understand that these verses about keeping the commandments, that enduring until the end and doing what God's required you to do is for the tribulation time period. And there's all kind of churches out there that struggle with the eternal security of the believer because they'll read these verses and say, well, the Bible says we got to keep the commandments. Does the Bible say that? Yes, yes, the Bible does say that. But when you rightly divide it and you apply it to where it goes, it makes sense. The Christian age, the church age, the gospel of the grace of God that was given to the Apostle Paul was unlike anything else the world had ever seen, before or after. And Pastor Andrew covered why it happened. In Romans chapter 11, God turned to the Gentiles to make the Jews jealous. We got in more for that than he loved us. I'm just telling you. He loved us, yes. But you know what his big motivation was? Was making Israel. How many times have you heard of a wife getting mad at a husband, throwing all his stuff out in the yard with a sign that said, free, take it all? It's happened. Andy, didn't you get some golf clubs or something one time? Yeah, I've seen it. Now, did she care more about the person she was giving it to, or was she mad at her husband? That's the truth. I'm just telling you. We got in, y'all. I don't think we'll ever understand on this side of eternity how great a deal we got. When you look what Israel had to do to be right with God in the Old Testament, I mean, it was meticulous. It was definitive. It was rigorous. It was hard. It was difficult. Us today, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Boom, it happens. We're now a child of God. We're a joint heir with Jesus Christ. We're seated in heaven. All these wonderful and great things. We didn't get in because of us. We got in because of their unbelief. We got it made, folks. We got it made. So once he takes his church out, God goes right back. Remember when they stoned Stephen? Remember whenever all that stuff was happening, when they crucified Jesus? I'm getting ahead. I don't get too ahead of myself, but God's going to deal with the nation of Israel for doing that. He just it's almost like, I'm going to get you. You did wrong. I'm going to get you. You know what? I'm going to be nice to these people for a while. And then once all that's done, and we're dealing with you. If you see what I'm saying with the nation of Israel, if he did wrong. All right. Blessed are they who do his commandments. They may not just say you believe in God during the tribulation. You must endure until the end to be saved. All those verses there to prove it. You must have faith in God, and you must keep the commandments to be saved. It's not just faith in God anymore for your salvation. Because that's what a lot of them are going to hear. Well, I remember listening to Billy Sunday say, all I got to do is just believe. Or not Billy Sunday, Billy Graham. I remember watching him on TV, and I never did, but that ain't going to be good enough in the tribulation. You still got to have faith in God. You still got to believe in God. But now you're going to have to work for your salvation. You're going to have to keep the commandments. You're going to have to do what God's required you to do. your faith and your works will justify you before God in the tribulation. Every dispensation in the Bible required faith in God. No dispensation required works only for salvation. And Pastor Andrew brought up a point in the millennium. That may be one of them, because God's going to be here ruling and reigning from Israel, and you're not going to have much faith. He's right there. There's no need for faith. So that part may need to, we need to decide what we're going to do with that verse. Y'all see what I'm saying? When Jesus Christ is literally here on this earth ruling and reigning, how much faith does it take to believe in a man who's sitting on the throne in Israel ruling with a rod of iron? He's there. Don't take much faith. The gospel of the grace of God, Romans to Philemon, was the only dispensation that salvation was by faith alone with no works at all. We quoted Romans or Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I've already quoted it. But unfortunately for you, that time period is over. I'm just being honest with the sinner. I'm just letting them know. You are now under a different gospel. You are under the everlasting gospel and the gospel of the kingdom. And I quote both of them. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel. And is that what we preach? Do we go out and preach the everlasting gospel? No, we do not. We preach the gospel of the grace of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth and to how many nations? Every nation and kindred and tongue and people. This includes you. They are now under a different gospel. And that's there at right, Revelation 14:6. That is not what we have today. We don't preach an everlasting gospel. In Matthew 24:14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. This includes you, and then shall the end come. If you take that mark, you will spend eternity in the lake of fire regardless of what you say you believe, and that is true. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his head. This is the verse you just read a while ago. What? No, it wasn't. That was different. Okay. And the third angel, the mark in his forehead. That is very clear. That is very specific. That is, there's no, you take that mark, what you say you believe. And all we got to do is just call on his name. Oh, it says over here, and he just says, see, that's gone. That's not over. All right. So we've gone through the first four, and I tried to help the sinner that don't take the mark. I mean, what do you do? Baby needs formula. You got to have help. What do? You need to store up food and water to get from other people. If they catch this thing early enough in the tribulation, before it fully goes into effect, they may be able to store up enough. And I don't believe in this stuff about storing up stuff now. I don't. Does that sound like anything that God would have? You just store up a bunch of food for yourself, spend a bunch of food and money, and you can hide out for 8-10 years. And you don't care about nobody but yourself. That doesn't sound like it. Now in the tribulation that does take effect. You need to hunker down. I mean, you need to get in. What's that movement they call the where people preppers? Yeah, man, you need to be prepping. That's the time to prep. Not now. That's the time to prep. I don't know how much time you have before the mark will be a requirement to purchase the necessities of life, food and water. But when things get really bad, you won't have time to prepare a plan. It will be too late. And I quote this verse. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountain. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. When it gets bad, it's bad. You need to go to your bug out place. Maybe you will be able to find a small group of believers to help each other survive physically. But you need to try to find a remote area with not many other people. Just know, not everyone will believe you, including most of your own family and friends. When that happens, you must let them go. Do not try to force anyone to believe in God. Be very careful who you trust during this time. People will turn in their own family during this time. And we quote this verse here. And brother shall deliver up brother to what? Death. And the father, the child. And the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. There he says it again. But when they persecute you in the city, flee you into another. It's time to run. It's time to do the best you can. You need to hide out wherever you can, but you still will not be able to escape the upcoming judgments that are about to be poured out upon the earth. I am not going to tell you how truly bad it's going to get. I do not have the time or the space to cover all of it now. It's all documented in Matthew and Revelation. So I'm just giving them the resources where they can go, because I could have went into all detail, and I'm trying to keep this short. I mean, you can overburden people. I mean, you hand somebody a Bible and say, here, do this, what you need to get, look at all that, and like, I'm not doing all that. So we tried to keep this short. But do you see the importance of kind of put up, you know, get you a little campment of people that, you know, you can trust, and all you decision between taking the mark or believing God, just let them kill you. It won't hurt long. I'm just being honest. That you just need to man up and be a martyr. Your eternal life depends on what you do. Do you see now it's no longer, it's not a game anymore. To sit and just, you know, believe in Jesus and you'll have eternal life. That time period's over, it's gone. The church is taken out, the gospel of the grace of God is gone. Now it's a matter of you deciding, are you willing to die for him for your salvation? Because you take the mark. We see what happens to the people that take the mark. It's a tough choice. Your baby's crying. Like I said, your wife ain't ate in 3 days and or longer. I don't know how long somebody finally snaps where they start, you know, eating tree bark. But, you know, it's a tough position. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think God will allow that to happen. I think God will put in the hearts of the leaders of that time to either kill you, you either volunteer to do it or you kill you. I mean, and listen, if they did and you stand before the judgment, God's not going to hold you accountable for something you didn't voluntarily do. I mean, yeah. But God's in the heart of our leaders. He gives them, you know, we talk about God shall send them a strong delusion. They should believe a lie. I believe during that time, the Antichrist doesn't want to do it to you forcefully. He wants you to make that decision, and if you choose to die, he wants everybody to see that. If you don't take, you know, if she dies and you're next, well, what happened to her is going to happen to you if you don't take it. Whereas if they force people to do it, I don't think God's going to let that happen. I really don't. I think God's going to, it's either going to be voluntarily choose of your own free will, because that's your worship to this beast. That's your accepting of the system. That you're like, oh, okay, I don't believe in God. I'm going to accept this because it's for the betterment of the world, because all the poor will be fed and everybody have free health care. And I really believe that it's either going to be you volunteer or die. Yeah. Right, that's a good example. Yeah, they either bow down of their own free will, because they could have been forced to. But look, if you're the Antichrist, do you want that forced worship, or do you want voluntarily worship? And I really believe that scenario won't happen. I mean, if I want you to worship me, I want you to choose to do it. And if you don't, I kill you. I mean, yeah, right, right, yeah. If that were to happen, and I don't believe it, I don't believe that's going to be an option. God cannot hold you accountable for something you had no control over. But I could almost see the devil saying, well, you said if they take that mark, but that's not of your free will. I don't see them doing it. I think it's, like you said, I think it's going to be either you bow or you go in the furnace. You either take this mark or we're going to kill you, because they ain't got time for, I mean, they want everybody on board, and we're already seeing the beginnings of that. If someone turns you in and you get caught, and I know this is a hard statement for somebody that just broke that glass and they're standing here in church and it says if someone turns you in and you get caught and you're forced to take a decision to mark or believe in God, just let them. When that time comes, they're going to remember they read that. They're going to read this, and there's going to come a time, hey, man, what that book said about this mark, they're doing it. That book is true. Maybe that Bible is true. And then all of a sudden, you decide, do you take the mark or do you die? And he's going to remember that verse. He's going to remember what that says right there. And he's going to say, I choose death. But look what they have to do to inherit eternal life versus what we have to do. It's amazing. And then Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. In Matthew 10:28. And that's what the tribute, I'm not going to go on to the next point. This gets into more of why I say all of this stuff, and it's you need to rightly divide. And just like we need to rightly divide the Bible, they do too. Now, you're talking about somebody that probably don't know much about God, or you're probably going to run into somebody that's been in church their whole life. There are people sitting in church this morning that has been there for 20, 30 years, and they're as lost as a goose. So they have a little Bible knowledge, and they come across this, and they're going to be like, oh, my goodness, I've been lied to this whole time I was in church. They didn't tell me the truth, and now I got the truth. But what you see in the tribulation is them trying to endure, to make it. And you talk about, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. Do you know if you love the world right now, God's not happy with you, and he may chasten you, but in the tribulation, it could be life or death. If you love this world and you love the philosophies of this world, because what's going to happen is when they come out with this mark, they're already coming out with a social credit score. It's coming, folks. I'm telling y'all, this thing is rapidly picking up, and I'm not one of these conspiracy. I mean, you can just look around and see what's happening. You can see the direction we're headed. I mean, we're marching right into this. The tribulation lasts only about approximately 7 years, and we're going to get into a little bit of that as we read this booklet. But it doesn't go from living in caveman, Stone Age times into all this stuff. I mean, there's got to be a buildup to it because he's only got 7 years from the time the tribulation starts till the time it ends. But a lot of this stuff is already being set up. You almost have to believe the Antichrist is here already. He's here. He is walking among us right now. We might not know who he is, but all of this stuff is and if nothing else gets you to believe the Bible, look at the prophecies that were made in the Bible, and they're coming to pass. One of the greatest ones, and I think a lot of Christians overlook this. Remember in the tribulation, when those two prophets are killed, do you realize what the Bible says? The whole world will see it. Now, we know that's, if I tell you if something were to happen in Israel today, the whole world will see it, but yeah, it's television. Explain that to people 200 years ago. That made no sense. Like, I think the Bible's mistranslated here, Brother Jeff. How in the world can the whole world see this? Now, surely the Bible doesn't know, but it's turning out to be true. And the fact that the whole world can see an event now, when the Bible was given all those a long time ago, and it already predicted all of this stuff. And another thing, and I'm just filling a little time, and then I'll ask some questions, answer any questions if anybody have some. But remember when Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. When you go back and you read the story of Noah, you see that the Bible says the earth was exceedingly violent. That was one of the characteristics. And what are we seeing today in our world? It is so unsafe. They are letting criminals out. Nobody's held accountable for what they do. I mean, you can't even hardly go to the gas station at, and now that the dark's getting darker earlier, you get off work and you go to the gas station and it's complete darkness. I know they got a few lights out there, but man, people are getting robbed and assaulted and their money stolen and beat up and even some murdered. The Anaya Blanchard Law, I believe that passed, did it not? But you know what happened? That girl stopped at a gas station and wound up dead in Alabama. It's a violent world we live in, and it's only going to get worse. It's not going to get any better. hate to be like Jesus and said, hey, time will come. They're going to kill you and think they do God's service. But the Bible predicted all this. It predicts every bit of this. And God knows where we're at. God knows who we are. God knows the situation. all you can do in this life is just give your life to God, and whatever happens, happens. Look at John the Baptist. Did he not do a wonderful work for God? He got his head cut off. He trusted God. He believed God. But he got so discouraged that he told two of his disciples, said, hey, go ask this Jesus guy. Are you really him, or should we look for another? What happened? He's in prison, about to get his head cut off. So it can get discouraging sometimes, but just have faith in God, trust God. He's got it all worked out, and I'm telling you, the Apostle Paul said, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And the sufferings are more than just, you know, your health stuff. It could be your persecution of people coming against you. And this world is so against God, unlike any time I've ever seen in my life. It's so bad. It really is. I mean, I believe this world is more wicked and evil now than it's ever been since Noah's flood. I believe, I can prove from the Bible, there were 10 to 12 billion people on the earth when the flood happened, and there were 8 people that got on that boat. That's how bad it got. And the further we move away, the further we go, the more we as a people, we as God's creation, move away from Him. And more people, and I believe they said the world is about to hit 8 billion. The world population is about to hit 8 billion. And the further we go in this thing of time, the further we fade away and fall away from God. Right to the tribulation. All right, has anybody got any questions or comments or anything? Yes. It's so much easier now. Yes. We will never truly know this side of eternity what we really have until we get home. And I've always said this. We'll wish we would have done more. We will wish we would have stood up for Christ more. We'll wish we would have worked for Him more. We wish we would have... You remember the Apostle Paul? He went to heaven and saw things that he couldn't talk about. But when he come back, he was never the same. God said, you can't talk about what you saw, but it completely changed. He cared nothing about dying. He said, for me to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. He didn't care. Paul, they're going to kill you. Great, I'm ready to go. Because he's seen where he was going. And I believe if we could ever get a glimpse of that, it would change our life and it would change. Go ahead. Yeah. You're right. You're right. You're right. Y'all remember the first national news story that CNN broadcast that brought the world together? Most of you probably, well, when I say it, I think you remember. There was a girl that fell in a well in Texas. And the world was glued to that. Is she going to make it? And they got cameras there, they got reporters there, and the whole world, not just America, that one story is what birthed this, the whole world can see one thing at one time. Because they were captivated. They didn't know if she was going to live. And it was wall to wall. Is she going to make it? Is she going to live? And it brought everybody together, which is a wonderful thing. But look what it's turning into. All right. Yeah? Yes. Well, that just goes to show you everything man gets a hold of, he destroys and perverts everything. You know, there's nothing evil in and of itself, but you can take it and make it bad. There's nothing wrong with a refrigerator. You can put milk in it and keep it, but you can also put beer in it. There's nothing evil in itself. You can take thing and make it evil. See what I'm saying? So, hope I didn't confuse you what I just said, but, I mean, technology, there's some of the brethren, man, they're just totally against the internet. It's all, man, everything's wicked. Everything's corrupt. You just use it the best you can. Like, we put this on the internet, so, and people listen to it, do they not? And they get some help. Is there wickedness and ungodliness going on the internet? Oh, absolutely. So, there's nothing evil in and of itself. It's what men do with that thing that makes it either good or bad. All right, anybody else got anything else? I hope you enjoyed the study. And we're just trying to prepare people. And there was a couple times, Ruth drew the picture of the main thing up here. And a couple times we were waiting on her. And I told her jokingly, I was like, Ruth, God's not going to start tribulation until you're done with this thing. Like, we got to have this thing done. And if you don't get it done, the tribulation ain't going to start. But now it's in my courts and it's in our court. So as we go through this, you see any errors, you see anything that can help, or you see any, you know, because we want this to be good. And this is, I'm telling you, people could literally be saved in the tribulation off of what we're producing. And we're doing it. It's all of us. I mean, I want us all us to be included on it. Because it's a ministry of this church. That was Nick, wasn't it? No, it wasn't. It was Marissa. Yeah, I took a picture. I went to the pews then, and then we got chairs. Right after I took that picture, we got chairs. It's like, well, should you do one with chairs? And I'm like, no, because that looks more like a church. Because this may not be just what she said. Well, it does, because you got the pews. Well, as far, I'm talking about as far as a traditional looking, you know. Huh? Yeah, I mean, if somebody in Indiana or, you know, California, whatever, sees this, you automatically think church. I mean, you got the crosses up there, you got all that. Anyway, amen. Dismissed, and we'll get right into the morning service. Heavenly Father, Lord.